The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Oh, boy. Nothing like an exciting lead up to the show. Now, welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's a Thursday, the 13th of February. A lot of news happening, lots of stuff to talk about. But before we get there, I could use a laugh. So let's listen to Samantha Bee. Take it away, Sam.
The New Hampshire primary was a win for strong progressive policies, Westworld robots, and Amy Klobuchar?
Buttigieg
and a surprise
was the robot,
third place finisher, Senator Amy Klobuchar vaulting into the top tier.
Amy Klobuchar has catapulted into the top tier of contenders for the Democratic nomination.
Amy Klobuchar surged into a surprise third place.
And Amy Klobuchar leaps into the top tier.
Amy Klobuchar with a monstrous surge.
Monstrous. Does that mean she beat everyone else or she beat everyone else up? Look, I'm excited to vote for whoever ends up being the nominee, even if they are the future subject of a biopic called The Devil Wears Kohl's. I'm also thrilled we actually know the results of a primary, because while Democrats were focused on the horse race, Donald Trump was busy enacting revenge like a dumpster Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
A campaign of retribution and vengeance is underway at this hour against those whom Donald Trump blames for his impeachment. Two of the most prominent fact witnesses in the impeachment investigation against him have been fired. The Friday night massacre.
In addition to firing two key impeachment witnesses, Trump also fired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman's twin brother, an ethics lawyer who wasn't even involved in the trial. It's a transparently vindictive move, though it wasn't entirely successful, because between you and me, there's still a secret third Vindman inside. He doesn't work there. He lives in the basement like parasites. This retaliation intimidates future witnesses from coming forward to report wrongdoing. It's the kind of thing that dictators do, although it's hard to tell how much of Trump is dictator and how much is just a dick. But Trump's not just being an asshole. He's using the power of the federal government to take down his perceived enemies.
Revenge is now front and center on Trump's agenda.
Who should pay and how will they pay?
Well, you'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens.
The president, quote, has an enemies list that is growing by the day. Who's at the top of that list? John Bolton. Oh, sources say, quote, it's payback time as the president determines how to have his former national security advisor criminally investigated.
President Trump tweeting, Shifty Adam Schiff is a corrupt politician and probably a very sick man. He has not paid the price yet.
Adam Schiff is a vicious, horrible person. Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person.
Look who's talking.
Pray. She may pray, but she prays for the opposite.
Someone send him a mirror.
Did the president just accuse Nancy Pelosi of worshiping Satan? Because if so, that just made her 10 times cooler. Not only does she front the House, she also fronts a death metal band named Lucifer's Taint. The Trump administration's retaliation isn't just reserved for political opponents. They also want to punish entire states. The Justice Department is suing California, New Jersey, and a county in Washington for their sanctuary policies. That's insane. Almost as bad, they're revoking Virginia's status as being for lovers. From now on, Virginia is just for likers. Meanwhile, acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf went on Tucker Carlson to announce one punitive policy that's already gone into effect.
New York's green light law, which they passed late last year, that law, what that does is it prohibits access to both ICE and CBP, that's Customs and Border Protection, access to DMV data. Today, we sent a letter to New York indicating because they took these measures that New York residents are no longer eligible to enroll in these trusted traveler programs.
The DHS will now bar New Yorkers from enrolling in programs like Global Entry that enable travelers to speed through airport security lines. It's a totally unnecessary policy, but it's fun watching Tucker Carlson process in real time that it could impact him.
All residents in New York, the tens of millions.
That's correct. They can't.
All New Yorkers, even the white ones?
Wow. We'll get
Trump's
to that.
New policy doesn't make us safer. It's just a petty response to New York's green light law, which allows undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses and shields their personal records from immigration authorities. It's a good law that helps people, so of course Trump hates it. The only law he hates more is Jude Law. He's not going to get into it. Jude knows what he did. The state of New York has already announced plans to sue over the freeze, and losing access to global entry is a minor inconvenience for most travelers, especially compared to our neighbors' right to live without fear. In fact, some of the only people living without fear right now are Trump's convicted cronies.
Ooh. In a shocking reversal and highly unusual move, the Justice Department is backtracking its sentencing request for Roger Stone, coming on the heels of a tweet from President Trump condemning the sentencing recommendation.
This is our democracy in jeopardy. Understand this, there's another domino of our democracy that is falling right in front of us.
Well, it's good then that Jeff Sessions isn't at the DOJ anymore. He could have been crushed by that domino. Look, if Trump is re-elected this November, it makes sense that anyone who has ever spoken out against him could be vulnerable to retaliation.
Yeah,
I know I'm scared, and I just host a TV show he doesn't watch. It's why, if I'm out in public, I ask that you please refer to me by my secret alias name. Stephen Colbert. Thank you.
All right.
I am him, yeah. He is me, and we'll be right back on the night show.
Yeah.
Take it away, John Batiste and the New Orleans Jazz.
Samantha Bee, who is just spot on this week. And I don't always agree with her. And I got to say, for this woman who's usually a bit of a, you know, I won't call her a Bernie hater, but certainly not a supporter in any way, she actually, at the beginning of that, gave him kind of props. All right, I hope you got a couple laughs out of that because things are getting real, I mean, real bad. So we may as well just launch into the news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
Well, do it live! Damn it! I can't find my do it live sound. Someone must have removed it from my wall of sound. Anyway, fuck it, we'll do it live, Bill. All right, so here's the deal. There's breaking news. I guess I should start with that. Hold on, I got to open my little script here. The Senate, moments ago, despite Donald Trump warning them not to, passed in a bipartisan manner, 55-45, the Iran War Powers Act, which basically curbs Donald Trump's military authority against Iran. The resolution represents a rare effort to restrain the president's executive authority and comes more than a month after the U.S. killed top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. So now, it's pretty amazing, number one, that Mitch McConnell even brought it up for a vote. Yesterday, eight Republicans joined with the Democrats to bring the measure to the floor. Those eight are Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Susan Collins, Todd Young of Indiana, Jerry Moron of Kansas. I know it's not pronounced moron, but bear with me. Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Bill Cassidy, Louisiana, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Of course, Trump tweeted earlier yesterday, of course, trying to influence senators to vote against the resolution, saying it is very important for our country's security that the United States Senate not vote for the Iran Powers Resolution. Oh, Iran War Powers Resolution. We are doing very well with Iran, and this is not the time to show weakness. Americans overwhelmingly supported our attack on Soleimani against Soleimani. Yeah, no, that's not true. If my hands were tied, Iran would have a field day. Sends a very bad signal. And yet, the vote was 55-45 in the Senate. I haven't seen the vote breakdown yet. I think if it's 55, they had to have gotten more than the eight Republicans who voted with them yesterday. Keeping in mind that Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and Michael Bennett, even though Bennett is withdrawn from the presidential race, all didn't vote because they weren't there. So it now goes to the House, where it will pass resoundingly. But unfortunately, I don't think either chamber has enough juice to override a potential veto. And you know Trump will veto it That's why we need to get rid of all of them. All of them! All right, on to the rest of the news. The sentencing recommendation change by the Department of Justice in the case of Roger Stone prompted all four prosecutors who worked on the case to withdraw, one of them leaving government service altogether. Of course, Donald Trump had to weigh in on Twitter, beginning with his attacks on the sentence that immediately preceded the change and continued into the night and began again early Wednesday morning, attacking the judge and praising the attorney general, you know, his Roy Cohn. Senate Democrats have called on Barr to resign or face impeachment after Trump appeared to confirm that Barr had intervened in the case against Roger Stone. Elizabeth Warren tweeting, Donald Trump is shredding the rule of law in this country. Barr should resign or face impeachment. Now, so yesterday afternoon, the House Judiciary Committee announced that Barr has agreed to testify before them. Again, the House Judiciary Committee, led by Gerald Nadler, on March 31st. Really? Today is February 13th. So we have to wait 6 weeks to get this jerk on the stand? And I'll believe he's going to testify when I see it. And then again, we've heard William Barr testify before, and apparently he has no compunction in testifying under oath and lying, or I should say lying while under oath, because he's a piece of shit. In other news, let's get back to the campaign trail. Next stop, Nevada, in the primary race, where Democrats will debate Wednesday ahead of the caucuses next Saturday. Now, in the wake of the Iowa debacle, the chairman of the Iowa Democratic Party has resigned. Tom Perez should follow his example. Anyway, the Iowa Democratic Party will soon begin a partial re-canvass of voting precincts flagged as having potentially inaccurate results. They were called for by Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg's campaign. If there are no major discrepancies found, the party will declare Buttigieg the winner, followed closely by Bernie Sanders. But again, I always feel like I have to clarify this and say that Bernie Sanders got 6,000 more votes than Buttigieg did in Iowa. And in their ridiculous practice, the way they award delegates is SDEs. And don't ask me what SDEs stand for, because I knew it and I forgot, and it doesn't make any sense. It's like delegate estimates. Something delegate, I don't know, it's bullshit. Again, Bernie Sanders got 6,000 more votes, yet somehow Mayo Pete is above him by a tenth of a percentage point. A tenth of a percentage point, but that gave Mayo Pete an extra delegate. Don't ask me to explain, other than to say we need to get rid of this bullshit process whereby we use delegates and the Electoral College to choose a president instead of the national popular vote. Topic we'll be dealing with, I'm guessing, in the not too distant future. Anyway, so meanwhile, Democratic candidate Michael Bloomberg, who was not on the ballot in Iowa or New Hampshire, is facing a backlash for that 2015 video in which he used racially charged language to praise New York City's stop and frisk policy. In fact, just Tuesday, we had Benjamin Dixon on the line on the show. He is the guy who unearthed this audio, which apparently has been there up on YouTube for the take, and all someone had to do was look for it. Ben Dixon did, and good on him for that. And I love it. He's getting tons of attention, notoriety, attention, deserved, because he does good work. So, but that's not all. There's more. In response to that, of course, he issued an apology. Bloomberg said the comments do not reflect his thinking now or how he led his mayor. Sure. But this morning, more video surfaced. This time of Michael Bloomberg in 2008, blaming the financial crisis on the end of the discriminatory practice of redlining. Listen.
We all started back when there was a lot of pressure on banks to make loans to everyone. Redlining, if you remember, was the term where banks took hold neighborhoods and said, people in these neighborhoods are poor, they're not going to be able to pay off their mortgages, tell them your salesmen don't go into those areas. And then Congress got involved, as local elected officials as well, and said, oh, that's not fair, these people should be able to get credit. And once you started pushing in that direction, banks started making more and more loans where the credit of the person buying the house wasn't as good as you would like.
Bloomberg's presidential campaign has refuted
let me stop and hold on. I didn't cut it there. So that was the audio from 2008. This was less than a month after everything crashed. That was the end of August. This was September. And Michael Bloomberg was saying that he blaming the whole crisis, the crash, on the end of redlining, when they could no longer discriminate. You heard Mika Brzezinski come in. Here, I can't read it with a straight face. She did. She gives the Bloomberg campaign's excuse for the comment.
Bloomberg's presidential campaign has refuted the context of the conversation, claiming that he was instead, quote, saying that something bad, the financial crisis, followed something good, which is the fight against redlining that he was part of as mayor. The campaign said that Bloomberg was attacking predatory lending.
Opposite world. God, can you imagine if he's the nominee and we get, two at least self-proclaimed billionaires. I know he is. Donald Trump, not so sure. And two who lie prodigiously. Go figure. More on Michael Bloomberg coming up in a few minutes, but there's more news to get to. Yesterday, we all tuned out of C-SPAN once the impeachment trial ended, but there's stuff going on. And perhaps yesterday would have been a good day to watch because the Senate Judiciary Committee had Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin in the hot seat. He was grilled by Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon about why the Treasury Department, and this just happened in the last day or two, the Treasury Department gave Senate Republicans potentially damaging financial information related to Joe Biden's son Hunter immediately when they asked for it. But they've blocked Democratic requests for Trump's tax returns for, it seems like 3 years now.
I want to start with what I think is a clear double standard with respect to responding to requests on congressional oversight. The request from the Democratic chair with a firm legal basis was met with nothing but legal foot dragging.
Yep.
The request that came from the Republican chairs got VIP treatment. They got, a response out the door in a flash. So it looks to me like there's a double standard here.
Think?
That you all are tipping the scales of congressional oversight.
Yeah.
What am I missing, Mr. Secretary?
The House disclosure of tax returns is subject to protections of 26 U.S.C. 6103, advice of counsel, as we've documented, we had significant concerns. That's very different than, I believe, what you're referring to as SARS requests, which on a bipartisan basis, we have responded to thousands of SARS requests to the committees from both Republicans and Democrats on an equal basis. So as we said, Treasury does not process congressional
requests. Secretary, you are stonewalling about stonewalling.
Boom.
And that's really not fair at all.
Real double standard.
Significantly.
Two committee chairs. One gets no response with legal authority. That's the Democrat. The Republican gets a quick response.
And that's how it works. Or, doesn't work, as the case is. But wait, there's more. Senator Sherrod Brown is also on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he attempted Mnuchin to explain why the nomination of former U.S. Attorney Jesse Liu to a Treasury Department post was abruptly pulled on Tuesday, just 2 days before she was scheduled to testify before the Senate.
I got word last night that Jesse Liu, whom we were going to do a hearing in banking for her nomination, she was inexplicably and suddenly withdrawn by the nomination by the president last night. When
did
you learn the president was withdrawing the undersecretary of your department?
I believe it was 2 days ago.
Two days ago.
Can you tell me why her nomination was withdrawn?
Of course not. You know.
I think you know.
You know, because Trump's a sociopath.
Nominations are at the president's direction,
and we don't comment
when nominations, as a matter of policy, when
we
nominations are withdrawn, which happened for a variety of different reasons.
Because we're the most transparent administration in history.
So you don't have any opinion or knowledge of why she was withdrawn?
Again, what I've said is a matter of policy.
I said I'm not going to tell you.
The White House does not.
I was just going to give you a second chance, Mr. Secretary. Prior to her position, you may know this. Maybe you don't. I don't know. She was U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia.
She
was involved in the cases of three of Mr. Trump's convicted political operatives, Mr. Gates, Mr. Stone, Mr. Flynn. Absent any plausible explanation for his withdrawal of this nomination, even though you claim... I hope you know you're more or less under oath. You claim to have known it for 2 days.
It is a crime to lie in front of Congress.
This is another stop on the president's personal retribution tour, an attempt to ensure that she did not come before the banking committee tomorrow to answer under oath questions about those prosecutorial decisions. When prosecutors scaling back sentencing recommendations on Mr. Flynn, with senior DOJ officials suddenly intervening yesterday to reverse and make more lenient the sentencing recommendation of career prosecutors. Four of them withdrew. One of them actually resigned.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us a lot. I mean, this personal retribution, this PR tour for the White House, this personal retribution tour the president's engaged in started with the prayer breakfast of all places, and then the East Room, and then his attacks on Colonel Vindman mocking his accent. The unannounced, the surprise, unexplained withdrawal of Jesse Liu, and I would hope you would give an explanation.
Yeah, right.
That's the one counter to the one that everyone assumes, and that is that the president is she's part of the president's personal retribution tour. So I'm hopeful that at either this hearing or later, you will help us and tell us the real reason.
Yeah, right. Don't hold your breath. Part of the president's personal retribution tour. Yep. And so what did Jesse Liu do today? She said, take this job and shove it. She resigned. She said, really? You nominate me for this thing 2 days before my confirmation hearing? You withdraw the nomination? I quit. Good for her. Following the four prosecutors who quit. All right. It's a trend. I see a trend. In another sign of the growing financial crisis in print journalism, McClatchy filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. In case you don't know McClatchy, they own about 30 newspapers across the country, including the Miami Herald. This is a big deal. McClatchy, as opposed to some of the other so-called, newspaper companies, is actually a good journalistic endeavor. And so this is disturbing. That's not good news. Hey, there's an update on Jim Jordan's situation. A former captain of the Ohio State University wrestling team told members of the Ohio House Civil Justice Committee that Congressman Jim Jordan was not only aware of allegations of sexual abuse that took place at the university in the 1980s and 90s, but that he begged others to cover up his involvement. The man, the former captain who was speaking, there's audio out there. I don't have it. I didn't pull it because it was just long, and I could have tightened it up a little bit. But he said Jordan cried on the phone with him, begging him to basically have his back. Hey, this is good news. The House gave the ERA a temporary new lease on life by voting to remove a 1982 deadline for ratification by the states. The approval pushes the issue to the Republican-controlled Senate, where removing the deadline is unlikely to find support. But the Virginia General Assembly last month became the 38th state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. That's the threshold needed for a proposed amendment to be added to the Constitution. So we should be there. If we had a Democrat in the White House, if we had Democratic control of the Senate, hey, women, fellow women, we'd be equal in the eyes of the law. What a concept. What a concept. Okay, one other thing before we get Howie Klein on the line, because I know I bitch with Howie, it seems, every week about the media bias against Bernie Sanders, but it's really getting out of control. I played for you some of Chuck Todd's nonsense yesterday. I won't burden you with it again, but I'm going to play for you one other thing. This is Jim Messina. Now, MSNBC has, you know, is, well, has been featuring not only Jim Messina, no, not Kenny Loggins, but David Plouffe, the architects of Barack Obama's campaigns, who are both seem to be, you know, well, I guess what Obama turned out to be, which is a centrist. Sorry, not a progressive. And so Jim Messina jumped on the MSNBC bandwagon of, you know, anybody but Bernie. We know, here's a few things we know. Bernie Sanders won the popular vote in Iowa. I mentioned this earlier in the program, by 6,000 votes. And somehow in Iowa math, that gave Pete Buttigieg a 0.1 percentage point, 1/10 of a percentage point win over Bernie Sanders. That's some creative math for you. You know, they're calling it a Buttigieg win, although, come on, anybody else? If it was, you know, Joe Biden who got Bernie Sanders numbers, they wouldn't be calling it a Buttigieg win. Just saying. And then Bernie wins in New Hampshire, and despite what Chuck Todd says, a win is a win. He said it the other day, like, they're gonna say a win is a win. How ridiculous of them to claim a win is a win. Because, you know, in this case, it's Bernie Sanders, so a win can't be a win. And then they get Jim Messina on the air, who says, forget Bernie. This was a stellar night for Amy Klobuchar because she came in third. And actually, the guy who wasn't even on the ballot at all, Michael Bloomberg, he was the real winner of the night. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried.
It's a very big deal that turnout is higher than 2008. That shows you a base and a party that is united and very excited. And the second number that I think people need to watch is, you know, over 55% of voters voted for a moderate candidate. They said the most important issue is who can beat Donald Trump.
Well,
and that, if you're looking at that number, the big number, the big winner last night could be Mayor Bloomberg, as he gets ready for Battleship Bloomberg and this unbelievable spending that's about to come our way. He's sitting back here ready to make a case that he's the best candidate. So we are in early days, and it's going to be very interesting moving forward.
Unbelievable, but it's totally believable. If you watch MSNBC, that's what you get by and large. There are a few honest brokers on that channel. I think Chris Hayes is one. I actually think Katie Turr is one. I used to think Ali Velshi was one, but boy, did I get into a Twitter fight with him this past weekend because his show was all, you know, go, go, Pete, go, go, anyone but Bernie. It's really, it's journalistic malpractice is what it is. So Ali Velshi is not on my respected journalist lists anymore. Not even close. Mm-mm. And that's a shame because I used to like him. But there was one other thing I wanted to tell you about before we get Howie Klein on the line. And I can't think of what it is. So, well, I'm sure it'll come to me when, you know, when Howie's here. So I'll tell you what, let's not wait any longer. Let's go ahead and start mixing up those dirty Debbies.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
little cookies. Tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hello, Nicole. I hope you're well.
I'm doing okay. You know, as well as can be expected in this political climate. Yeah. So it's been an interesting week. It seems every week is an interesting week. I wasn't sure, you know, what was going to happen in the post impeachment era, but now we know Donald Trump is even more unhinged than he was before. And thankfully we're starting to see some career prosecutors, and now today the woman who had been nominated for a Treasury Department post, and Trump pulled her nomination because she was a U.S. attorney on the Roger Stone and Paul Manafort and other cases. They pulled her out. She quit today too. So I think people are starting to say, you know, enough already. I hope.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, the problem with that is that the only thing that's left over is the you know, garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, that helps us to identify who the country's enemies are for the future.
Right.
Let's have to function. And now what are we going to have? What are we going to have running our government is the lowest of the low. What was that word again? Oh, kakistocracy. Do you remember that word? It was like it became really popular in 2016 when Trump first started hiring all this garbage to work for him. Do you remember the word?
It was a Greek word
based on shit. Cocky.
Kakistocracy. Okay.
So instead of an aristocracy, which is ruled by the best, a kakistocracy would be ruled by crap.
Gotcha. And that's where we are. We are in the shitter. We are totally in the shitter.
So I don't know how it's coming out. You should ask people in the chat room, but from my phone, you're fading in and out, so I'm hearing like every few words.
I'm so sorry. I'm having equipment problems, so hopefully you can hear me enough.
I hear you great now.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm not going to touch anything. I'm just going to sit here and not touch anything else. You don't know the problems I had this morning before we got on the air. We had no YouTube. I had to use the Skype on the main computer. It's just, yeah, it's my life. I must have done something in a previous life on the tech front where I screwed people over, because they're really out to get me now. Anyway, I apologize for whatever I did in a past life. It's interesting watching the corporate media. I have a very love-hate relationship with them. What I'm seeing is, you know, the whole, it may not even be a concerted campaign against Bernie Sanders, but they're all doing everything they can to discount his legitimacy, which really pisses me off, and to build up Michael Bloomberg, who hasn't even been on a ballot yet, though he is rising in the polls, because he's spent already over $300 million on these ads that are everywhere. And the latest, my kid showed me on Instagram today, Michael Bloomberg, allegedly, somebody using his account, is writing to people who are meme creators, direct messaging them, asking them to post a meme about him to make him look cool. And apparently,
well, not, it goes beyond that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I wrote about it a few days ago, but he's offering $150 for a post on social media about him, and it has to have a well-lit picture. So it can't be a picture that isn't well-lit, or you don't get the $150.
Oh my God. I've never seen
anything like this, and the media is actually defending it. I mean, I'm sure not everyone is defending it, but I've seen some defenses of it saying it's a perfectly legitimate thing to do.
Oh my God! Just like buying an election is a perfectly legitimate thing to do, in the age of Citizens United, I suppose.
Very, very sad. Now, in terms of the money that he's been spending, I have a very interesting chart up on my blog this morning, which is from one of the big firms that track political spending.
Okay.
So let's just take the state of California, where we have a
you know, the big
Jungle
Super
Primer?
Tuesday
election
Super coming
Tuesday.
Up on March
right.
3rd.
Gotcha.
So how much has Bloomberg spent so far on just on TV? So we're not talking about radio. We're not talking anything about the $1 million a day he's spending on Facebook. We're not talking about the biggest campaign in the history of the United States in terms of staff. We're just talking about TV ads, just the state of California. So we're not talking about the national ads. We're just talking about California ads. How much do you think he has already spent? Or actually, this only goes up to January 29th.
Ooh.
So he's been spending much more since then.
Right.
But through January 29th, can you take a guess what the Bloomberg campaign only on TV ads? Should we open this up to your chat room?
Sure. All right. I'm looking at the chat room. There's a little bit of a delay. So while there, and we've got two chat rooms going, so I'll look at both of them. So chatters, how much do you think Michael Bloomberg has spent up until January 29th in California alone? My guess,
on TV alone,
on
not
TV?
No radio, no
okay.
newspapers, only TV, no flyers, no Facebook, $1 million a day.
Right.
So I'm going to give you a hint. Okay.
Okay.
Should I give
okay.
a hint?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the hint. This is how much he spent in Texas so far. So same parameters, just Texas.
Yeah.
$24 million and change.
Okay. So the total, they're saying he spent a total of over $300 million already. I would say in California, he spent $100 million on television.
Not that bad.
Not that bad.
But so far, he has spent $29.8 million in
wow.
California.
Wow.
Just California, $29.8 million. It's unbelievable. And the rest of the Democrats combined, what do you think?
$7
million. Zero.
Zero? Nobody else is on television in California?
Except for Steyer. No, other people are on TV because they're buying national ads, which Bloomberg is as well. But they have no one is just targeting California up until the 29th. They're starting now. But until the 29th, no one had targeted California yet. In that period, he's spent about $30 million. Steyer has spent $9.7 million at
wow.
that time as well.
Wow.
So the two billionaires spending and all the normal candidates not spending.
Unreal.
Which is just incredible to me.
Right.
Now, Bloomberg didn't spend in Iowa, and Steyer spent over $11 million on TV alone in
mm-hmm.
Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of good that did him.
He got nothing for it.
He got nothing for it, and he spent a lot of money in New Hampshire as well, and time, and got nothing for it. He's got zero delegates at this point, yet he's not going anywhere. You know, he was on this show a couple of months ago, and I asked him, I mean, you know me, I say what I think. And I told him, this is ridiculous. This is a quixotic campaign. So I asked him if he really sees a path to the nomination. And he said, yes. And I told him, well, frankly, I don't. And you're spending upwards of $100 million. So you could do a whole lot of good with that. I mean, progressive voices have been erased from the public airwaves, the publicly owned airwaves. And we could really use some kind of a progressive media center. That would be much better use of that money. Buying Fox and taking those idiots off the air would be a better use. Anything would be better use of that money than what he's doing with it. And yet he's talking about he's in this for the long haul. What? But back to Michael Bloomberg, because I think he's more dangerous. I see what Michael Bloomberg is doing as the destruction of what's left of the Democratic Party. And when I go on social media and I see people who I know are Democrats and even somewhat progressive talk about, oh, I'm going to vote for Bloomberg because I think he's our best chance to beat Donald Trump, I just wonder, what are they not getting? Do they not understand that this will not only kill the Democratic Party, but kill democracy as we know it in this country?
Yeah, it seems amazing to me. And I mean, the way you just described it was really shocking. That progressives for Bloomberg, I don't get that.
I don't either.
I can't imagine that there's a progressive who how are they progressive?
Well, they're not.
Bloomberg,
you know, they're self-proclaimed progressives.
The Republican oligarch.
Yes, that's right.
Pretending to be a Democrat.
That's right.
How does a progressive how do you define it? One way you might want to define a progressive is saying they don't like Michael Bloomberg.
Or we realize what he's doing. You know, I just don't get it. And, you know, now today,
what he's done, you know, he does. It's not like he doesn't have a record.
Right?
He does. But I have a feeling you've probably covered the stop and frisk thing
yes.
before.
Oh, yeah.
But did you also see his whole thing about blaming the collapse of the housing market in 2008 and then the Great Recession? Instead of blaming the greedy banksters, mm-hmm. like very much like himself,
yep.
his pals, he blamed the fact that Congress ended redlining yeah. against certain neighborhoods, mostly you know, neighborhoods that were heavily black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
He said that's the reason, because Congress ended redlining.
Of course.
I mean, redlining is a nightmare. Redlining is, it's like apartheid. It's like what redlining does is it says banks shouldn't loan money to blacks and Hispanics.
Right.
That's really
that's exactly
in the
what
end,
it
that's
said.
Redlining is.
That's right. And
and
yes.
he blamed that instead of the greed of the banksters, he blamed that ending of redlining as the reason for the Great Recession.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. This guy is so terrible, stinks. And he's a bad guy. People don't realize what a bad guy he is. They just think, oh yeah, he gave money to fight against guns.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
But
he did
that's
something
about
good.
It. That's
right.
The only good thing I can think of about Michael Bloomberg. Everything else has just been terrible. I mean, he's very, very much like Trump, more than any other candidate, in terms of the way he treats women, thinking that women and younger men as well are just there for him as play toys.
Yeah.
He's done with them. He can just pay them off and make them sign a non-disclosure agreement.
That's right.
I mean, who does that? Donald Trump
yes.
and Michael Bloomberg.
Exactly.
Can you imagine, I mean, finding something like that about, you know, like a real candidate? Like even Biden or let alone like someone like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie. I mean, it's just insane
right.
that this is the level that we've sunk to in the age of Trump. Michael Bloomberg just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And yes, my congressman, Ted Deutch, who we've talked about before, and I bemoan the fact that he's not a real progressive. He's not as bad as many, but he doesn't step out on anything. He is a centrist. He's actually a moderate
yeah.
and a centrist. That's the right description of a moderate and
yep.
centrist is my congressman, Ted Deutch, except today he endorsed Michael Bloomberg. Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, my God, that is awful.
Well, and I'll tell you why. It's because of Michael Bloomberg's stance on guns. Now, today is February 13th. Tomorrow is February 14th. It's the second anniversary of the Parkland shootings at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, 10 minutes down the road. That's in our district. That's in Ted Deutch's district. So that's his issue. I'm sorry. I'm very anti-guns. It's still not going to make me vote for Michael Bloomberg.
No. I'm just shocked that Deutch did
yes.
it.
Yes, you and me both.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would get paid off who would look to get paid off in cash, does he? I've never noticed that about him.
No, he doesn't seem to be, and I think he's...
On the other hand, Bloomberg hired, you know, the most corrupt lobbyists he could find to round up endorsements. So they're spending an enormous amount of money mm-hmm. on rounding up endorsements.
Yeah.
So, and I think what they're doing, well, 100% sure, but this is what I seem to think. I'm trying to write a post about it, so I'm looking for more evidence that what they're offering people. You know, obviously some people are just crooks and they're just putting money in their pocket, like mm-hmm. a guy like Bobby Rush in or Gregory Meeks
uh-huh.
in
New York,
in
right.
Queens. I mean, those yeah. they're just crooked, and they're just for sale. So I'm sure it's just money in their pockets. But for other people, he's going up to them and saying that Bloomberg will fund projects that are important to them. So I mean, somehow that's not quite as bad, but it's still really bad. I mean, it is absolutely bribery.
Yep.
But that's how he's getting, you know, especially a lot of mayors. You know, tons
right.
and tons of crooked mayors have been endorsing him, and then you know some of the lowlifes. I mean, I never think of Deutch as being any good.
Right, but he's not as bad as so many. He's
of
right.
The worst
in the,
wouldn't right. include him.
Right. No, but here's what he tweeted this morning. I'm proud to endorse Mayor Mike Bloomberg for president. As a gun violence prevention champion, he will make gun safety a national priority. Mike will urgently confront climate change and will restore America's global leadership with integrity and honesty. I'm with Mike.
How come none of the groups that look closely at this, this climate change thing, how come none of them...
How come none of them endorse him? Because he's not good. Because during Superstorm Sandy, he was outspoken about doing something, but I don't see any great strides made by Mayor Bloomberg on the climate change front. He says the right things.
I mean, maybe he's giving some money again to somebody somewhere that is involved with this. But, you know, everyone looked, I mean, all of the groups that have looked at the plans for that the candidates have for. Everyone is saying Bernie's is the best and, you know, Elizabeth Warren comes in second. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't ever see Bloomberg at the top of any list, no matter who the group is.
Nope, not at all. It's just.
So I don't know why he has that reputation. And he definitely, you know, what I've noticed this time more than other years, although maybe I just didn't notice it other years, is that the candidates seem to be trying to brainwash people and phrases over and over and over again and pounding it into people's heads. Bloomberg is the most guilty of that because he has the most advertising by far, an unbelievable amount. So that when you see just like, you know, here's a normal voter, let's ask him what he thinks or ask her what she thinks. And what do you get? You just get them spitting up what the candidates are saying. And it's shocking at the degree of it. I mean, it's like, does no one just think for themselves? Does no one just, you know, read what the candidates have to say or even listen to them, watch them on YouTube, and then come up with your own idea of who they are? No, they just spit out the key phrases that the candidates want to be used to describe them.
Right.
Like he is for gun control. He is good on climate. Well, he's not good on climate. I'm not saying he's bad on climate,
but
you want to talk about a climate change candidate, you talk about Bernie Sanders. Not this fool.
Yep, without a doubt. So this brings us to the next topic, although we could keep going on Michael Bloomberg. It looks like the next thing to get him is an issue with his treatment of women. The Atlantic has a new piece out. Quote, I do her too. Mike Bloomberg and the underbelly of Me Too is the headline of this new piece. It's not even new. It's a couple of years old from The Atlantic. So they're coming at him and warranted from all fronts. And good, I'm glad to see it, because the media is giving him a pass.
The way the other candidates have. I mean, the other candidates have all been vetted because they've been running in an election. All of a sudden, this guy comes along and starts spending his hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, unvetted, and people don't understand that. It scares me.
Oh, it scares me, too. And again, it's really disconcerting to see he's not done any retail politicking. He's not meeting people. He's not been a single debate, but he has spent $300 million on advertising. And I guess it does have an effect, because on some new national poll, he's up to number 3. I know national polls don't really mean much, but that's disconcerting. And the fact that his numbers are rising among African Americans, I hope they're hearing, you know, what he said about stop and frisk. I hope they're hearing what he said about redlining. I hope they're paying attention and not just watching the stupid TV ads. And I got to say, Michael Bloomberg has a better ad agency than the Democratic Party, because he's put out some really good ads that are just anti-Trump ads. But the stuff where, you know, propping him up and using Obama to, it sounds like Obama endorsed him, is disingenuous at best. Bullshit.
Can you imagine
is more
how Biden felt when he saw that Obama ad?
That's just a fringe benefit, I guess. Anyway, so Howie Klein, this brings us to something that you're writing about. You have a new post coming up, I think probably right when the show ends, called Not Any Goo Will Do Part 2. So just because someone has a D next to their name doesn't mean they're automatically one of the good guys.
That's right. In fact, I mean that goes right into what we were just saying about Bloomberg, although he's an extreme since he was he's been a Republican for most of his life, and
right.
he just decided to become a Democrat just for the convenience of running for election. You know, first, in, you know, he was a Republican who ran for mayor, and then he became an independent, and then he became a Democrat, and now he's a Democrat. And you know, what does he have to do with what the Democrats are?
Nothing.
I mean, it's not like joining a firm. It's supposed to mean something. Now they're you know, when you hear these people talking about we have to have a big tent.
Yes.
A big tent means what? That everybody is part of it? How about one party state with one big tent?
Right.
That means absolutely nothing at all except what the leader says it means.
Right.
Is that the kind of
no.
big
and
tent?
And I'm sorry, to Amy Klobuchar, the big tent means bringing anti-choice people as well. Hell no. We fought too long and hard to get Roe v. Wade, to keep Roe v. Wade. I'm not voting for anyone who is going to come in and say, eh, you know what, if you're against women's right to choose, that's okay too. It isn't okay.
It absolutely isn't okay. You're right. And that is what they mean by a big tent. Let's let them in too. How about someone who wants to take away the rights of gay people? You know, they're defending Lipinski now. He's part of their big tent. He doesn't want gay people to be treated equally. Is that something that the Democratic Party can abide?
Yeah.
Apparently, people like Jerry Bussos think, yeah.
That's unreal. And, you know, I sent off a nasty letter or email to the DCCC last week when they sent me an email about their endorsement. Oh, it wasn't. I'm sorry. It wasn't even the DCCC. It was Indivisible. I told them, remove me from your list. They endorsed Christy Smith. Indivisible?
Indivisible doesn't really have an ideology. They're not necessarily a progressive group. They're just Democrats who want to defeat Trump.
Gotcha.
It's not like a group that's about being progressive.
Gotcha. Well, then I misunderstood what they were all about.
About anything except defeating Republicans,
right.
which for a lot of people is good enough.
Right,
that's
I guess.
The point of this piece that's coming out in a few minutes is that it's not good enough. You know, I said, but, you know, you get these people like, you know, one of the examples I used was Henry Cuellar.
Yes.
I mean, Henry Cuellar is against everything that the Democratic Party stands for,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he votes that way. So why is he part of the Democratic Party? Why is it that the DCCC is going hog wild to try to keep him in his seat? What's that all about? You know, I'm not supposed to talk about this, but I'm going to anyway.
Yay.
So could I just ask everybody who's listening to please don't repeat this and
okay.
don't tell anybody.
This is just
for you guys. If you go start repeating it to everybody, I'm not going to be able to talk about these kinds of things in confidence anymore.
Okay,
so this is in confidence.
Got it. Don't
last night, Jerry Bussos called an emergency meeting of all of the California members of Congress. She said everybody has to come to this. A lot of them didn't come, but a lot of them did. And what happened is, you know, she's trying to protect Christy Smith.
Yeah.
And they're afraid. They're very, very nervous.
Let me
and
just say, for those who don't know.
Who's nervous? So there's a lot of nervousness.
Right.
So one group who's nervous are all the California freshmen. They're freaking out. And why are they freaking out? They're freaking out because Christy Smith is very lazy and isn't doing her call time. And that is call time. And she isn't doing it. She's busy doing other things. And all of the freshmen are flipping because they feel that they want the DCCC money for their reelection campaigns. And they're afraid that the DCCC is going to spend all their California money on her. So they want her out. They don't want her. They don't want her to be the candidate. They're all furious. All of the freshmen are furious. So that's one thing. The other is they were hoping to have a 51% situation so there'd be no runoff. We have this jungle primary,
right.
And there's like, you know, dozens of Republicans running and some strong ones, and they figured they'd all split the vote, and then a Democrat would need is 51. And they realized that Christy Smith can't do that, and she's not going to get it. She's up against Cenk Uygur.
Uygur, right.
And
they also realized that Cenk could do that if she wasn't in the race. Cenk would get to 51%.
Probably.
So now there are people who may or may not, I don't know, be arguing that they should get rid of, get her out of the race. And if they get her out of the race, the whole thing is over. Cenk walks in, gets 51%, no runoff, and he's the member of Congress.
Wow. Wow.
Right. So that's inside news. You won't see it anywhere else. It's just, you know, just a little Howie talk, and it'll come out eventually, of course. But everyone who's listening now has it first, and please don't tell anyone you heard it here.
Right. Now, when does this post go live? Because you allude to that. I mean, you don't talk about the meeting.
I'm not posting that.
Right, right.
That is just for your audience. The post that goes live about the goo, that goes live Pacific time, 1 o'clock.
Okay, so
four minutes.
Right. So, but you do talk about...
I just in a line, because while I was... While I was writing the post, I talked to three members of Congress telling me about it.
Wow!
I think it was one line about
yes.
it, and I think most people will just sort of skip over that. And I mean, the full explanation is what I just said on the radio just now.
Gotcha. Well, you do also mention that the Chicago Sun-Times endorsed the progressive running primarying Dan Lipinski for the second time, Marie Newman.
They didn't endorse her last year.
Uh-huh.
This is Marie Newman. They did. They endorsed last cycle.
Right.
This cycle, they. Let's be real, Lipinski, and they use this phrase, a closet Republican.
Wow.
And then they talked about how he shouldn't be reelected, and she should be reelected, even though it's a very conservative paper, and they don't agree with her on a lot of issues. But they said at least she's a real Democrat. He's not a real Democrat.
Wow.
And he'll fight. She'll fight for what the Democratic Party stands for. With him, he either votes against it, or you have to beg him and fight with him and bribe him to vote for the most basic Democrat. I mean, he's anti-choice.
I know.
He's anti-gay.
Right.
He's anti-immigrant. He voted against Obamacare.
Yep.
I mean, this guy shouldn't not be, if he's in Congress, he should be in Congress as a Republican,
right.
Like Jeff Van Drew. He's just another one, just like Jeff Van Drew. You know, I said all along, Jeff Van Drew eventually will just join the Republican Party. And
he did.
I think he's going to be defeated in this primary.
I so hope you're right. Thanks to you, I had Marie Newman on the show. It was during, you know, we recorded while you were out over the holidays. And she's amazing. I will post that interview again. I'll feature it on YouTube or something. So to get it out there, because she deserves to win. We have a lot of really, really good candidates. And let me stress, this is the primary season. To go back to the presidential race for a moment, Donald Trump, what Bernie Sanders said on Tuesday night in his victory speech in New Hampshire, the first thing he said after he thanked the volunteers and everyone else was to thank the other candidates and say, Donald Trump is the most dangerous president in our lifetimes. And regardless of who wins the nomination, we will all band together to defeat Donald Trump. The point I'm trying to make, and I think the point you're trying to make too, Howie, is during primary season, this is when you vote. This is when you reach for the stars. This is when you go for the person who most closely aligns with your feelings. It's not the time. It's not up to us to play pundit and decide who can win. Let the people decide who's going to win and take it from there. We don't know who's electable and who isn't. And 4 years ago at this time, nobody thought Donald Trump would ever conceivably win. So
right, because all the pundits who we are picked Hillary Clinton as unbeatable.
Yep.
And that's what we were told by the mass media, and that's what we were told by the Democratic Party establishment, led by Debbie Wasserman Schultz and people like that. And they were all wrong. They were drastically wrong. And now we're stuck with Donald Trump, who is destroying our country.
I couldn't agree more. And so, yes, I will join with Bernie Sanders to defeat Donald Trump, no matter who the Democrats nominate. I hope we don't shoot ourselves in the foot and nominate someone who's going to bring about the end of the party. And that's, you know, I will keep fighting for that until the primaries are over. That's what primary season is about. Howie Klein, as always, thank you.
Thanks. I had a good time today. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Howie. Find Howie Klein at downwithtyranny.com. And, of course, the Blue America PAC, where they find, identify, raise money for, and support the best progressive candidates out there. And I ought to fix the audio on this. Okay, now that Howie's off, the audio level jumps. Go figure. All right, as always, thank you for listening. Tomorrow we'll wrap up the week with Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman's whose newest book is, I've got it right here, The Hidden History of the War on Voting. Talk about good timing. All right, thank you for listening, everyone. Until tomorrow. Keep your eye on the prize. I'm still looking for that perfect sign-off. Oh, and by the way, if you want to help with our experiment to audit MSNBC next week and keep track of who their guests and contributors are, please send me an email, nicole@nicolesandler.com. We'll parcel it out over the weekend, and we'll get working on this next week. All right? Thanks for listening, everyone. See you tomorrow. Nicole out. Bye.